The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I'd love for you to turn to Jeremiah, who was not a bullfrog, but rather a prophet. And he probably wasn't a very good friend to anybody, just to be honest with you, this particular Jeremiah. And as you're turning to Jeremiah, the first chapter, I want you to tell me what you know about Jeremiah. Okay, talk to me. What do you know about the weeping prophet? Okay, anybody else? What do you know about Jeremiah, the person or the book or anything like that? Anybody? A smooth life where nothing ever went wrong. Yes. Just like all the prophets. Yes, Mark Carroll. That about sums it up. He did not have a private plane or a television show. Yeah, that's important. Faithful to preach. Anybody else? Jeremiah. Yes, Gary. That's a good one. I hope you were able to hear that. He loved the people enough to tell them hard truths even when they didn't want to hear. And something I didn't quite... The coin didn't quite fall into place for me, but he also spoke and blessed and tried to love and teach them even once when God told him not to. His heart was for those people. You might also know the word Jeremiad. Have you ever heard that term before? A Jeremiad? Does that ring a bell? Sometimes this prophet was so upset with his enemies that he would blast them. And you can even find that in here. He's blasting his enemies. He's asking God to blast his enemy. He goes off on his enemies. And so when you go off on somebody, sometimes that's called a Jeremiad. Have you ever heard that before? There are so many wonderful expressions through the book of Jeremiah, which, by the way, is the longest in the whole Bible. More words than any other book in the Bible. Dense and packed. It's also beautiful language. I do not have a Hebrew in my wheelhouse, but I understand that there are wonderful places in there where there's beautiful plays on words and beautiful word pictures. The words have homophones which sound similar but paint contrasts and all kinds of things. Sometime you should do a little research on Jeremiah and look at some of the places where the language is so, so beautiful. The difficult thing about Jeremiah, among many, is, well, you've already said it. 50 years, no converts. Gary said he's preaching at a time of great shifting, talking about nations being shaken. At that time, actually, he begins his ministry in relative calm and peace. Josiah is the king. But at that time, you have to have a playbook to keep track of which nation is going to war against which nation, and another one takes over and deposes a king and sets up another one, and it's all over the place. Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and all of these nations are vying for political power. Israel as a nation is declining in power. It's already been split. It's about to be decimated. And Jeremiah is there in the middle of all of that shifting. Can you relate even a little bit to that? So there's a place in today's passage that I want us to focus on for a moment or two. It's in the first chapter, and it has to do with his call. And then my mind got to thinking about a passage in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth that I want us to look at. So would you first please look at Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Before we do that, anybody else have anything else about Jeremiah you wanted to mention and you didn't get a chance to do that? Okay. We're looking at the call of Jeremiah. I'll bet you remember this little passage too. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." By the way, whenever you see the word know in the Bible, you must understand and remember that it's a lot more than just intellectual understanding. It's a deep, intimate, only God can do this kind of knowing. God said to Jeremiah, "Listen, I've had my eye on you long before you even had eyes. You were still in the womb, and I intimately knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." By the way, that language is very similar, if not identical, to the language of making something holy. To make something holy means to set it apart. And God had his eye on Jeremiah before Jeremiah even knew anything at all. God knew him. Before Jeremiah even had sight, God saw him. Before Jeremiah was even called, or at least cognizant of it, God says, I knew you, and I set you apart for something. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Wait a minute, I thought he was just a prophet to one particular kingdom. This says nations. Maybe Jeremiah has a mission that will impact on more than just his neighborhood or his town or his, zip code, area code, country, region. Maybe God is going to use him to speak to a number of nations. Look at verse 6. Oh, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Some translations say, for I am but a boy. Now, he's not necessarily talking about being 8 years old. He's saying, I'm youthful. I'm a kid. What do I know? I got nothing. You ever wake up and you think, I don't want to do adult today? My son called me up the other day and he said, gosh, Dad, I have to go to the post office and then I have to make sure I turn that thing in and my car was empty again. And I'm just trying to do this adult thing. And I said, welcome. Welcome to the real world. Jeremiah is saying to God, I have to go to the post office and I didn't know that. I'm just a kid. What do I got? I'm just a youth. Close your eyes just a second. And would you, just in the space of about 5 seconds, think about all of the legitimate excuses you could give the Lord for why you can't do something he called you to do. There's a bunch of them. Jeremiah says, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. One of the church fathers says that this is an act of humility. You know what? I don't read it that way. Maybe it's just cynical me, but I also hear a little bit of Moses in this too. Does your mind go back to Moses? You remember when Moses saw the burning bush and the Bible says, Moses said, I will go over and see this strange sight, this bush that burns but is not consumed. And he goes over and he starts having a conversation with God. And he gives him about 728 excuses, well, there's three or four anyway, of why he can't go do this. And one of them is, I'm slow to speak. My brother Aaron's really good. God, I've got the perfect person in mind for you. And it's Gary Jones. Because he does this adult thing so much better than I do. Mark Harrell, he's got it together, but I'm just a boy. What do I got? I think it's fascinating, and I didn't really notice it till last night in the night, but it occurs to me that Jeremiah says, I'm just a boy, I'm just a youth, and God said, nah, I knew you when you were younger than that. I knew you when you were in the womb. You were not yet born. I'm only a child. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. By the way, 50 years, no converts. He sees his country carted off into captivity. Probably is stoned to death in Egypt. And yet, here's this promise. I'm going to be with you. Reminds me of Matthew 28. For lo, I am with you, even to the very end of the world. I am. Very similar again to Moses. Look at verse 9. This reminds me of Isaiah 6. I see the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And then remember the place where Isaiah says to the Lord, I'm really rotten. And I live a bunch of rotten people, yeah? And God has one of the cherubim cleanse him. A similar thing happens. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Very similar. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. So think about the calling just for a minute. Like Moses, like Isaiah, like so many of the saints that we read about in Scripture who are flawed, dear people, does that give you some encouragement? All of these saints of God who had stuff, do you have stuff? Well, yeah, you do, because about 5 seconds ago, I asked you to think about all the reasons that are legitimate that you could say no to God. And like them, Jeremiah says, I'm just a kid. I got nothing. I don't even know how to speak. And God does for him what he does for all of those other saints and says, you know what? I will give you the words to speak, but you're the one I want to do this task. Jeremiah is saying, I got weaknesses. Anybody in the room today got some weaknesses? If you don't think so, you're a liar, and that's a weakness. Because I got at least two or three of them. Just ask Sheila. Jeremiah leads with his weaknesses. That's actually a beautiful goal of the Christian life. And I want to show you that little passage in Corinthians. We'll turn there to close. Will you turn, please, to 2 Corinthians? I'm a big fan of the author and theologian Marva Dawn, and she is a phenomenal exegete. That is to say, she knows her Bible inside and out, the languages, all of that. One of the most amazing theological minds today, in my opinion. And she's done a little exegesis of 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 is where Paul talks about weakness. And it occurred to me that Jeremiah is leading with weakness, and that's probably a pretty good thing to think about as a Christian. I'll cut to the chase. Marva Dawn says, the goal is for our power to come to an end. The goal is for our power to come to an end. So this morning, you may have come with the idea of, it's everything I can do just to get here today. I couldn't possibly be of use to the Lord because I don't do this adult thing very well. Or if the church really knew about my financial situation and what I'm into, I'm not sure they would want me to be a part. Or I'm ill, I'm sick, I got issues. You know what? The goal is for your power to come to an end. Would you take a look at 2 Corinthians 12? And let's start with, look at the 30th verse of chapter 11. Let's start there. And then I'll go to 12:7. 2 Corinthians 11:30 says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Now, there's a shift right there. Here's Jeremiah, who is in a place of saying, I don't got nothing. I'm a kid. What do I know? And God says to him, no, I have set you apart. I've set you apart. I've got a task for you. There's a shift. Shifting from I don't know what to do to being set apart. Also, he's in the middle of a bunch of shifts because the world around him is shifting. Kingdoms are rising and falling. There's intrigue. There's government corruption in the highest of places. Sound familiar? There's some shifts. And now here's another one. Paul says, this is so upside down. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Would you take 5 seconds and think right now of two or three of your top weaknesses? Would you just do that? Think about that. It might be a physical thing. It might be a mental thing. It might be an emotional thing. It might be a relationship. Weaknesses. Paul says, you know what? If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the things that show my weaknesses. Now jump down to verse 7 and following of chapter 12. To keep me from becoming conceited, puffed up, another translation says, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. There's that thorn you've heard about in Paul's life. It was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Oh, Lord, why did you do this to me? Oh, God, take this thing away. Oh, Lord, did you bring me this far just to let me fall down? Why have you allowed this to happen? 3 times, verse 8, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. More on that in a moment. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Circle that, by the way, rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, what? Then I am strong. Jeremiah said, hang on, I'm just a boy. What do I know? I don't know how to speak. And God says, good. There's your weakness. What an upside down, what a weird shift from leading with your weakness in a human worldly way as if to excuse, when God wants you to lead with your weakness in a spiritual way so that His power may what? Rest on you. That word, by the way, right there, rest on, is the exact same word where we get tabernacle. Think about that for a second. Episkenao. It's the place where God shows up and dwells. Now there's a shift for you. Not only do you not have to worry about your weakness, you can boast in it because that's the place where God's going to show up. Now, do you try to keep your weakness hidden from God? Do you try to keep your weakness hidden from your fellow church members? Or are you going to lead with it? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may tabernacle in me. I was mentioning Marva Dawn a minute ago, and one of the things I love about her exegesis of this particular passage is that she says, at least in her view, that many translators have gotten this wrong, particularly when it comes to the bit about made perfect. This is the only place in the New Testament, she says, where they go with the words made perfect for that particular word in the Greek, when in all other places it means something else. What does it mean? Brought to an end. So she translates the passage this way. I want to read it to you. I think it just sings. This is now 11:30, followed by 7 through 10. You ready? If it is necessary to continue boasting, I will boast of those things which show my weaknesses. Continuing now with verse 7 of chapter 12, this is Marva Dawn's translation. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to knock me about, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord concerning this, that it might depart from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for your power is brought to its end in weakness. Let me read that again. God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For you, Jeremiah, for you, Paul, for you, Gary, for you, Sheila, for your own power is brought to its end in weakness. That makes some good sense. Your own power ends where your weakness begins. And that's why God shows up in tabernacles there. There's a place for God to rest. There's a place for God to dwell in your weakness. She goes on, all the more gladly then will I boast in my weaknesses that the power of Christ, not mine, may tabernacle upon me. Therefore, I take delight in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And she closes with this. The goal is for our power to come to its end. Why? Because that's where God shows up. That's where God tabernacles. That's where God has a divine moment, where your own power is brought to an end. Where your weakness begins, that's where your own power ends. So today I asked you, what are the excuses? You know what? If you're focusing on your weaknesses, then really, in some ways, that's ultimately pretty selfish, because it just ends up being about you. We can't help but focus on them because they consume so much of our time and energy. If I didn't do this, if I could have that, oh, how much ministry could I do if, wait a minute, I can't do this adult thing very well. And that just ends up focusing on me. The fact of the matter is, God does want you to lead with your weakness, but not for the purpose of you to ruminate over it, but so that He can tabernacle there. Now, I want you to think just for a minute. How can you boast in your weakness? And what is it that God is calling you to do or to be? Where is the shift He's asking you to make? And are there some excuses that you're using to delay that moment? And are you using weaknesses? Well, you know what? Those are the things that God is looking for so that He can show up in tabernacle. Oh, I'm just a boy. I can't speak too well. Jeremiah underwent some incredible shifts in his day. Listen, we're called too. We've been set apart. He knew you before you were in the womb. What kind of shifts is God calling you to make these days? Let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks for your prophet Jeremiah. And I don't know about anybody else, Lord, but I am encouraged by the fact that he preached for 50 years and had no converts. That encourages me. It encourages me, Lord, that he was faulty and flawed, because I know I am. Lord, I'm encouraged that he had weaknesses, because I got more. But I pray that, like with Paul, I can boast in them, not to excuse them away, that I can boast in them, not to ruminate on them and use them as an excuse, but, Lord, in a godly, spiritual way, so that that's the place where you will show up. Help me to see what that looks like. Lord, at night, late in the night, I'm tempted to get up and go eat and to fill up a hole in me with food and go to that place that I used to know where food was a comfort. That's a weakness. But Lord, I pray that you would show up in that place as you have been doing and tabernacle there so that you can use me and grow me more in Christ-likeness. Lord, my friends here today have weaknesses and places where they need you to tabernacle. Would you just throw up a hand if you got a place where you could like God to tabernacle in a weakness? Yeah. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you tabernacle in that place? And grow us, Lord, as the world shifts around us, as kingdoms rise and fall. Pray that we will be faithful even in the shifting and not avoid it because we have weaknesses, but rather embrace them because that's where your strength is made manifest and tabernacles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.